Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 91 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tandy Wallingford.
We will give them a proper welcome home like we do currently when our men and women come home.
Vietnam veterans are getting a special welcome home this week.
Habitat for Humanity helped an immigrant family become homeowners.
Black Jewel miners are being supported by a Harlan nonprofit.
Students at a predominantly black college had their scholarships withdrawn.
Mental health groups are hoping to erase the stigma.
In sports, several 16th region teams are in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a 20% chance of showers and a low around 69 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Vietnam veterans will receive a welcome home this Thursday in a special ceremony at Fort Campbell Army Base. Organizers say the event aims to celebrate and thank service members, many of whom were scorned when they first came home from the war decades ago. Memphis resident and Vietnam veteran Harold Beaver is traveling to Fort Campbell to participate and said this kind of commemoration is long overdue.
When we got back to the States, people at that time, they were still, you know, spitting on us. They were doing things that just showed dishonor because we were participating in an occupation or war that the people here in the States didn't approve of.
The event is free, but organizers suggest arriving up to 2 hours before the 2 p.m. ceremony to allow time for processing through security and getting to the event location on base. More information is available at states.aarp.org/Tennessee.
Black Jewel miners are not alone in their protest against the lack of pay and feedback from the defunct mining company. The nonprofit organization, With Love from Harlan, has been providing miners with supplies for the protest camp. The organization has received $90,000 in donations for the miners. Miner David Pratt tells WKYT he appreciates the organization's support.
It's been amazing support for all that from everywhere. They've supported us many different ways, donations. They've poured in on top of each other.
The nonprofit uses the money to provide the protesting camps with food, clothing, and other necessities.
The Lexington Habitat for Humanity helped a family from the Democratic Republic of Congo become a new homeowners on Sunday. Esther Otunami and her mother arrived in Lexington in 2015. Since then, they've been living in a second-story apartment, but the stairs are a problem for Esther's mother because she's blind. Rachel Childress is the CEO of Lexington Habitat. She tells WKYT accessibility is the biggest thing they considered when building the new home.
This is a level lot. It is a zero-step entry house. It's got wide spaces, and she will be able to maneuver and manipulate and do things for her family in this home that she would not be able to do in many other places.
The family plans to move into their new home this week.
10 students at Simmons College in Louisville suddenly lost their scholarships. WMKY's Michael Green has the story.
Administrators at the college are blaming a feud between Papa John's and its estranged founder, John Schnatter. The Papa John's founder donated $1 million to the predominantly black college earlier this month. Each student was told they would receive $2. The president of Simmons College said he was told on Thursday that the company is withdrawing the money. Papa John's said administrators at the college declined the scholarships and released an email from the college rejecting them. But a school employee who wrote the email said she was instructed to do so by a Papa John's executive. Simmons administrators said that they will find a way to honor the promised scholarships. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
Mental health groups across the U.S. are encouraging people who are struggling or know someone in crisis to reach out and ask for help. Mental health professionals say social stigma still prevents people from seeking that much-needed help. Austin Lucas is with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation. He says it's crucial to discreetly reach out to loved ones who might be struggling and ask the question directly.
are you thinking about killing yourself, or are you thinking about suicide? And for a lot of people, that's really scary, especially if they are really close to this person, because they're anxious that this person might say yes. However, having that conversation might be enough to save their life.
If the answer is yes, Lucas says the next step is to stay with them and help connect them with resources that can help.
For National Recovery Month, the Lexington League of Women Voters held a discussion on opioid addiction where the community was asked to share ideas on how to manage the opioid crisis. Some suggestions include more secure, obvious drop-off locations and reducing the stigma and image of opioid addiction. Andrea James, a community response strategist in the mayor's office, tells WKYT Lexington businesses are impacted.
How a significant number are actually people between the ages of 30 and 50, and that's our workforce.
James says the discussed points will be shared with city officials.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
After multiple reports of losses totaling $85,000 in cash, Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear has issued a scam alert concerning mail scams that target senior citizens. While prepaid debit cards and gift cards are still the most popular way for scammers to steal from Kentuckians, Beshear says senior citizens in several counties sent $85,000 in cash to scammers posing as computer repair technicians, a family member in jail, and a government official awarding grants. Kentuckians victimized by scams are urged to file a complaint with Beshear's office online or by calling 888-432-9257.
Police are investigating evidence of foul play after an Ashland man was found deceased at his residence on Sunday. WMKY's Zoe Hall has the story.
The Ashland Police Department responded to a call on Sunday to an address in South Ashland to check on the welfare of a resident. A press release published by the department said officers found the resident Phil Marzetti, 65, deceased upon arrival and found evidence of foul play. Boyd County Coroner Mark Hammond said that Marzetti was pronounced deceased at the scene and will be transported to Frankfort for an autopsy. The Ashland Police Department said that the investigation is ongoing and that a person of interest in connection to the case has been located. For WMKY News, I'm Zoe Hall.
A Kentucky judge has revealed in court a man is accused of threatening to blow up a Planned Parenthood location. Gray affiliate Fox 19 reports Daniel Keebler was arrested and charged with possession of a destructive device or booby trap device, terroristic threatening, and 8 counts of wanton endangerment following a search of his home in Independence. Authorities say they learned Keebler was threatening to blow up the Reproductive Healthcare Organization Cincinnati location. People who knew Keebler reported the threat to law enforcement. Keebler was arraigned in court in Kenton County this morning. His bond remains at $100,000. Kenton County authorities are still investigating the case.
A Rush man was indicted with multiple felony charges on Sunday. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has more.
Nearly a month after his arrest, 37-year-old Larry S. Eldridge was indicted with trafficking 2 grams of the Schedule 1 controlled substance methamphetamine. According to court records, Eldridge was also indicted on a Class A misdemeanor and 2 Class D counts of a felon possessing a firearm. He was also charged by the grand jury as a second-degree persistent felony offender based on previous convictions of flagrant non-support. Eldridge is currently being held at a $75,000 full cash bail at the Boyd County Detention Center. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
One person is dead following a shooting in Lexington on Sunday morning. According to WKYT, officers were called to Florence Avenue around 9:15 a.m., where they found the victim in the road with multiple gunshot wounds. The victim, who Lexington police describe as a 51-year-old man, was taken to the hospital, where he later died. His name has not yet been released. Lieutenant Andrew Daugherty with Lexington Police say this may not have been a random crime.
When we arrived, there were some citizens that were trying to help him. According to some witnesses we talked to, they were interacting before the shooting happened, so we have indications that they did know each other.
Investigators say witnesses saw a possible suspect fleeing the scene toward Douglas Avenue. An active search for the suspect is currently underway. Anyone with information is asked to contact Lexington Police.
Lexington police are investigating a stabbing after a man was found dead in an apartment. According to a release from the Fayette County Coroner, the victim was identified as 56-year-old David Goldbold. WKYT reports officers were called to the apartment around 9:30 p.m. Saturday night in an apartment on Elm Tree Lane. They say Goldbold died of apparent sharp trauma injuries. Police have not released details on a possible suspect in the incident and are actively investigating the case.
A Clay County mother charged with wanton endangerment and criminal abuse appeared in court last week. Police say Angela Guth did not seek immediate medical attention after her son burned another boy in August as part of the hot water challenge. After the preliminary hearing was delayed, Guth sent her lawyer to apologize to the victim's mother. Patricia Oliver tells WKYT she needs to forgive and move on.
I'm still sort of soaking in the fact that she apologized to me. I will have to forgive her. There is no doubt.
Monday's proceedings last week were delayed. Guth will be back in court for a preliminary hearing on September 23rd.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, Tuesday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 80. Tuesday night, clear skies with a low around 59. Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 78. Wednesday night, clear skies with a low around 58. Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 75. Thursday night, clear skies with a low around 54. Friday, sunny skies with a high near 79. And Friday night, clear skies with a low around 58. Current temperatures for Inez, 92. Flemingsburg, 90. Lexington, 91. Mount Sterling, 91. Grayson, 90. Ashland, 91. And Moorhead, 91.
On our feature segment today, our island universe, and looking at the concept of island universes, and in doing so, explain the name of this new series.
On the evening of April 20th, 1920, at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, two eminent astronomers participated in a great debate that attempted to resolve the question of just how big is our Milky Way, and in turn, just how big is our universe. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. The question centered on how far away so-called spiral nebulae are from us. By the turn of the 20th century, astronomers had found many nebulous blobs of light. Were these faint, fuzzy patches of light relatively small clusters of stars located within our own Milky Way? Or were they large, exceedingly distant island universes, a name that the 18th century philosopher Immanuel Kant invented to refer to the possible existence of external galaxies like our Milky Way? At the time, the idea of other galaxies just like our own was a controversial notion. It would be a few years after the Great Debate when the great American astronomer Edwin Hubble finally resolved this question once and for all, using a new kind of variable star discovered by Henrietta Leavitt and a large telescope atop Mount Wilson in California. He was able to measure distances to these stars accurately and showed that these spiral nebulae were beyond the Milky Way. These island universes are indeed external galaxies like our own. For much of our existence, our ancestors thought that the Earth was the center of it all. It wasn't until the Copernican Revolution of the 16th century that we finally abandoned that idea and realized our planet orbits the sun. 100 years ago, many astronomers thought that our own galaxy was the only one there is. The scientific discoveries of the 1920s reminded us yet again that we occupy no special place, no privileged vantage point to view the cosmos. Today we think we live in a universe littered with galaxies. Estimates suggest as many as 10 trillion galaxies. But is there only one universe? At the dawn of the 21st century, our ideas of the cosmos now lead us to think that our universe may not be the only one. In the 100 years since that great debate, we now realize that the cosmos is incredibly different, mysterious, and exciting than even those astronomers could have ever imagined. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/startheater.
Chanel Varani is an astrophysicist and the new director of Morehead State University's Star Theater. It's 4:46 and 89 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Tandy Wallingford and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this lovely Monday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Several teams in the 16th region are in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Elliott County Volleyball travels to Rose Hill Christian for a 6 p.m. matchup. Boyd County plays host to Russell. Fairview hosts Greenup County, and West Carter travels to Lewis County. All three of those games begin at 7. In 16th region soccer action tonight, both of Morgan County's teams are headed up to Greenup. The girls face off at 6 p.m. and the boys meet at 8 p.m. East Carter is also hosting a doubleheader with Boyd County. The girls will play at 6, and the boys will meet up at 7 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. Round Volleyball is gearing up for an important match against West Carter tomorrow. The Vikings and Comets are neck and neck atop the 16th region standings. Round head coach Steve Walters says his squad is working on its own play, however, and not focusing on the record of their opponent.
We're trying to treat this as a business as usual sort of match. We've had some struggles in our receiving and passing area, and we've kind of struggled in some of our serving. And so really our focus is just to correct those mistakes instead of focusing on a particular opponent.
Round is 16-4 on the year and coming off a third place finish at the Dink Scott Memorial Tournament last weekend in Montgomery County. West Carter is reeling after a winless performance at the All-A Classic in Richmond over the weekend. First serve in Olive Hill is set for 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Morehead State football is back in the win column after a convincing 73-34 victory over Kentucky Christian on Saturday. The Eagles got a slow start out of the gate, falling down 14-0 to KCU in the first quarter. MSU head coach Rob Tenyer talks about how an 86-yard kickoff return jump-started the team after digging itself in an early hole.
Yeah, that was huge, and then we got a stop, and then we had a big series, went down, scored, and then, you know, 14-14, and we had a little buzz on the sideline again. So, you know, I told our guys, listen, there's going to be some games like this, you know. I mean, folks are going to score some points on our defense some weeks. We're going to have to outscore them some weeks. And then the other scenario is just kind of a back-and-forth game. You know, we're going to be in some low-scoring games. We want to get to the point where competing for conference championships, those are the kind of games you play in.
The Eagles will be back on the road this week when they head west to take on the Racers of Murray State. Kickoff for that game is slated for 7 p.m. Saturday night. Morehead State women's soccer fell to Southern Illinois 2-1 in overtime on Sunday. SIU midfielder Ellie Lewis scored the match-winning golden goal on a free kick in the 92nd minute.
I mean, we played really well. Again, I scored the first goal and played really well yesterday and just made a game-changing mistake at the end. It was an own goal. And, you know, that's what we're shooting ourselves in the foot right now. And we got to work on eliminating those mistakes around the goal area. And
Freshman goalkeeper Grace Gaffney tied a career-best 3 saves on 13 shots faced. Southern Illinois improves to 4-4-1 on the year and snapped a 2-game losing streak with the win. Morehead State falls to 1-6 overall with the loss. The Eagles will hit the practice field Tuesday in preparation for their road match with Tennessee Tech on Friday. Kentucky football dropped its first game of the season Saturday night. The Wildcats fell to the Florida Gators 29-21 at Kroger Field. After the game, UK head coach Mark Stoops pointed out key plays that determined the game.
Game comes down to inches. We were short on the fourth down when we were up 11. And come back and run it on third down there and end up, 6 inches short or whatever it was, 8 inches short and missed the field goal.
Florida backup quarterback Kyle Trask led the Gators to the victory in relief of starter Felipe Franks, who left the game with a dislocated ankle. Franks will likely miss the remainder of the Gators season. Kentucky heads on the road this weekend to face Mississippi State. The Cincinnati Bengals fell to 0-2 Sunday with a 41-17 home loss to the San Francisco 49ers. After a strong performance on the road in Week 1, the Bengals' defense looked more like last year's team, which was ranked near the bottom of the league. Here's Bengals head coach Zach Taylor on his team's effort on Sunday.
This is not something that we're going to run from. It is what it is. You know, we got blown out at home. We could say it was frustrating, but we will not allow our guys to hang their heads. This is one game. We got 14 more to go. We got a tough one next week at Buffalo. And so we can't waste 1 second feeling sorry for ourselves because no one else is going to do that. So these guys will rebound. We got great heart in this locker room. We all know that this is not us. This is not what we're about. We're a much better team than that.
Bengals receiver John Ross and Tyler Boyd both racked up over 100 receiving yards each, but the Bengals offense failed to get anything going on the ground. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 297 yards and 3 touchdowns in the win. Cincinnati hits the road in Week 3 to take on the Bills in Buffalo. The Reds head to Chicago to take on the Cubs tonight after a thundering victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Reds have gone 29-38 against division opponents. The Cincinnati pitching staff owns a combined team ERA of 4.17. Eugenio Suarez leads the Reds with 47 home runs and is batting a .580. According to Fox Sports Ohio, Reds will pitch Kevin Gausman, who is 3-8 with an ERA of 5.83. The Cubs will pitch Cole Hamels, who is 7-7 on the season with a 3.89 ERA. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Volleyball hosts the Comfort Invitational this weekend, hosting Marshall at 6 p.m. on Thursday, Copan State at 6 p.m. on Friday, and Southeastern Louisiana at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your stock market report for WMKY. Stocks fell amid fears that a surge in oil prices following an attack in Saudi Arabia could slow down global economic growth. And at 3:30, the Dow Industrials were down 148.66 at 27,070.86. The S&P 500 was down 10.18 at 2997.21. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 25.44 at 8151.27. West Texas Intermediate futures jumped more than 14% to trade at almost $63 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate was up more than 15% overnight. And, of course, this sharp move comes after a series of drone strikes on Saturday, which knocked out about half of Saudi Arabia's daily crude production. The Iranian president said today that the attack was a reciprocal response to attacks in Yemen. And, of course, fears about retaliation certainly having an effect on the market's action today. Saudi Aramco, which is Saudi Arabia's national oil company, will reportedly try to restore about a third of the country's production by the end of the day today. General Motors shares fell 4.3% after the UAW went on strike after contract talks between the two entities broke down. Higher gasoline prices could also potentially hurt auto sales. And the airlines felt the brunt of higher oil prices today as JetBlue and United Airlines both dropped over 3%, while American Airlines lost 5%. Energy stocks, on the other hand, were very strong today, with Devon Energy up more than 11% and Marathon Oil jumped more than 12%. And large-cap Dow Jones members ExxonMobil and Chevron were also up more than 1% each. The major indexes posted solid weekly gains last week and, of course, have closed in on record highs that were set in July. And through Friday's close, the Dow and S&P were both about 0.7% below their all-time highs, while the NASDAQ was nearly 2% away from that record. Sentiment was hurt earlier today also by economic news after it was reported that China's industrial production fell to a new 17.5-year low. Production rose just 4.4% in August, while analysts polled going into the report expected a gain of 5.2%. As mentioned in the commodities markets, oil very strong, now up over 14% at $62.52 a barrel. Gold also had a good jump today, up 0.625% at $1,509.70 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Community Trust Bank down 28 cents at $42.55, Marathon Petroleum down 86 cents at $52.43, CSX down 5 cents at $72.42, Kroger down 28 cents at $25.94, and Valvoline's down 31 cents at $21.94. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking another look at your region's extended weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and a low around 69. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 80. Tuesday night, clear skies with a low around 59. Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 78. And Wednesday night, clear skies with a low around 58. Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 75. Thursday night, clear skies with a low around 54. Current temperatures in Inez is 92, Flemingsburg 90, Lexington 91, Mount Sterling 91, Grayson 90, Ashland and Moorhead 91.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the 9th Annual Moorhead Arts and Eats Festival takes place in downtown Moorhead from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 21st. Sample a variety of food and treats, homemade arts and crafts, community groups, live music and entertainment, and come see us at the MSPR spam booth. It's open to everyone, handicap accessible, and free nearby parking.
The Moorhead Chapter of National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 24th at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illness are welcome to attend.
Celebrate Banned Books Week at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling, 6 p.m. on Wednesday, September 25th. Read selected passages from books that have been banned, discover new books, and take one home as a souvenir. A donation of $10 is suggested.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a Wood Songs Coffee House concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday, September 26th, featuring bluegrass, folk, and old-time music with Don Rogers. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students.
If you would like to include your organization's events online in our community calendar or on the air in our daily public service announcements, visit us online at WMKY.org and click on Community Calendar. We'd love to include you in our daily show. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition. We had help today from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Michael Green, Jonathan Burton, Lori Likens, Wyatt Melton, Cody Robinson, Chanasty Davis, Keneally Roberts, and Ty Martin. Also, we had stocks from Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Chanel Varani from Morehead State University's Star Theater. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tandy Wallingford and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.